The Healthy Alabama podcast is sponsored by Enroll Alabama, a program that enrolls Alabamians in the health insurance marketplace.
Enroll Alabama is a project of AIDS Alabama. For more information, visit the website AIDSAlabama.org. Welcome to the Healthy Alabama podcast, sponsored by Enroll Alabama, which is a project of AIDS Alabama, a great organization based in Birmingham, and they have been a strong, strong partner of this podcast for many years, and we thank them for that. I'm David Person, host and producer of the podcast. Welcome. Glad to have you with us, and we've got a great podcast episode for you. This episode features my big sister, my friend, cancer survivor, vegan chef, and baker extraordinaire, Donna Green Goodman. And she, of course, was with us at the very beginning of the creation of this podcast. It was great to get Donna back for this episode. And in this episode, we're actually doing something very special. We're going into the kitchen with Donna. She's going to walk you through making a vegan pound cake. And you can flavor it however you want, but a vegan pound cake. And I'll just say that it was delicious. Before we get into what we're about to get into here, let's talk a little bit about who you are.
Okay.
For people who don't know. You are a 22-year breast cancer survivor.
Correct.
Talk a little bit about that journey.
Diagnosed with invasive aggressive metastatic breast cancer in 1996, told I had 2 to 5 years to live, whether I did treatment or not. Mm-hmm. Because of my background in nutrition and health education and my professional career working to prevent these sorts of things, I was looking for options. And they wanted me to do chemo, stem cell, chemo, radiation, tamoxifen. And nobody seemed to understand or recognize the value of choice as far as lifestyle in preventing or reversing disease. So I had to pull back. I found a medical support system that believed in lifestyle. I went to the elders of the church and I was anointed. And then I got busy making lifestyle changes. I refused the chemo, the stem cell, the second round of chemo, and the tamoxifen, but I did do part of the radiation. And within 6 months, there was improvement. And at 9 months, I had the same or better improvement as a patient who would have done all of the treatment.
So you were only supposed to make it 2 to 5 years.
Right.
And here you are 22 years later. And you attribute that difference and that extension on your life to what?
Well, plant-based diet was a part of what I did, but I changed my work ethic. There's a lot of evidence now that connects people's stress to disease, and I had some forgiveness to offer and some relationships to straighten out, some people to let go of in my life. I started exercising outside more than I was inside. I went to this total plant-based diet. And then my relationship with God changed tremendously because I was in a place that I never thought I'd be, and nobody human was offering me much hope. And so that, I know a lot of people practice meditation and positive thought. God was where I found all of that, and it guided me through it. And I began to see changes in my life, not just where the breast cancer was concerned, but I also lost weight. Anxiety stuff went away. I had really bad migraine headaches, really bad female issues. They all just went away. And I watched this benefit my family as well. My son had real bad allergies. They all disappeared. Wow. And then I decided, and I promised God that if he gave me the opportunity, I would continue to do this for the rest of my life. And that's what I've done.
So a vegan diet, dramatic lifestyle changes, healing of relationships.
Yeah.
That's really powerful.
Yeah, and over the years, one thing I have noticed, wasn't looking for it, but many of the women that I have met who are breast cancer survivors have either been in abusive relationships or they have been in stressful relationships, work-related, that sort of thing. And I was surprised to find it. And I write about it in one of the books that I wrote where my husband and I, we were struggling. We were struggling. You're raising children. You're trying to be everything to everybody. And I realized when my time was limited that I had to better use my time. And so if you weren't helping me, then you had to move on.
Bye-bye, Felicia.
And if you didn't want to move, I was moving, so you weren't going to be there. And that gave me rest because that is very vital in recovery. And it's just... it made a difference in my life. And as I continue to teach people who either have cancer or diabetes or hypertension, all those sorts of things, stress management is vitally important. And a lot of times when I'm counseling patients, well, I know I'm supposed to do this and I'm supposed to do that. And as I back up from all the things they're supposed to do and start prodding, we come across, well, my mother-in-law is living with us and it's making me sick. My daughter has decided to do so-and-so. I'm really stressed at work. And they're sobbing. And we look at how we can address those things. And then they are more empowered to make the healthy lifestyle choices, understanding that first they've got to get at what's going on in their heart.
Right. Wow, that's all powerful.
Yeah.
And that's why on the Healthy Alabama podcast, we don't just talk about diet and even more traditional conversations about health and wellness. We talk about some of these root causes like, you know, things that happen in your family of origin, things, traumatic and catastrophic events that happen in people's lives. Mm-hmm. So that's good. Mm-hmm. All right. So you are, as I said, you're a 22-year cancer survivor with this amazing story. But you also have become very proficient and actually not just proficient, but nationally known as a vegan chef, baker, just a maker of vegan cuisine. Talk a little bit about that journey and how you have become so proficient at this.
My undergrad training is home economics nutrition, and my mom and dad had me in the kitchen when I was like 7 years old, so I've enjoyed being in the kitchen. When I made the decision to go plant-based, because I was vegetarian before, but I did all the milk, cheese, eggs, butter, and everything. And when I discovered the connection between animal products and disease, the protein, the fat, the cholesterol, and I said, okay, I'm going to go all the way. One of the things that I had was a reputation that I needed to protect, because people had been already eating my food. I was a home economist for the Georgia Extension Service, and what we're going to do today is literally based on, I used to teach people how to make pound cakes using all the butter and the eggs and everything. And so what I tried to do was convert the recipes so that it was traditional foods for African Americans, for Southerners. Then I taught college for a while, and I taught a lot of students who were from the Caribbean, and I wanted to make sure that that was a part of what I was doing, and I just tried to make it tasty, because the problem with people eating more healthily is they think that it don't taste good. So what's the point of doing that? And when I originally made the decision, I put the trash can to my refrigerator, and I dumped a bunch of stuff at my husband and son. I can see him standing there like, what are we supposed to do? And then I got in the kitchen and I started playing, and there were days when they'd say, take that back, because that's not good.
Okay.
And then other days I had a really good hit.
Yeah.
And then because of my work as a health educator, I'm in the community, and people are needing to learn how to eat healthfully. So something as simple as a Rotel cheese dip, we found one that tastes just like it, and everybody's happy. When it comes to cooking traditional foods like cabbage and collards and that sort of thing, Black folk are looking for this smoke flavor, so I introduced the things that were there. When it comes to the cake, I really wanted to find a good cake recipe, because I made a slamming traditional cake, and my husband, when we first got married, the cake wouldn't last a weekend, because just the two of us, he would eat the whole thing with ice cream and milk and all of that.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be able to replace that, not with something that anybody could tell the difference on. So I got in the kitchen and I prayed and I played and I experimented. And I've got a bunch of stuff that I've shared in both the books. And then there's some secrets that I kind of keep, you know, just for
proprietary information.
Yeah, proprietary information, you know. Yeah.
Being all secretive like the CIA.
Yeah, you know.
There.
And then a lot of people are concerned, she's not going to give us all the ingredients. No, I do. I share anything that I've shared with you, you have everything that's supposed to be in there. If I'm not sharing it, that's because I can't give you everything, because I want to do something with that one later. So we have had an amazing opportunity. People are very surprised. One of our patients, literally this week, we were sharing some things with him, and he couldn't believe that it was as good as it was. We have another patient. All she wants me to do for her for Christmas is make her some pinto beans and cornbread. Because what she tasted at the office was, she just, you know, loved it so much.
And I guess we should explain, because you're making this reference to you and Eddie, your husband, have a business, Lifestyle Therapeutics.
Yes, correct.
Eddie is a physical therapist.
Correct.
And you handle the dietary part.
I do. The dietary and wellness coaching, lifestyle education. Because many of the patients, he recently finished a course at UAB that is more health focused. Many of your allied health professions are discovering that when they treat a patient for physical therapy, for example, usually if a person has had a stroke, they are at risk for another stroke or a heart attack because of other comorbidities is what we call them. And so when he comes now to see a patient, he doesn't just want to treat their leg if they're experiencing diabetic neuropathy. He wants to explain to them why they have it. And most often it's related to the dietary choices that they're making. And he wants them to exercise, but they can't exercise because their feet hurt. Mm. So if he gets their feet and legs better, then they can exercise, which is vital. And then I'm teaching them how to make healthier food choices. And we have one patient who we didn't even realize had kidney disease. And he made all the recommendations that we told him to do. And he said he went to his doctor's one day, and the doctor was taking a long time to explain what was going on. And he said, "What's the problem?" He says, "What in the world have you been doing?" So he said, "I've gone plant-based." He said, "Your kidneys have all turned around."
Wow.
They literally were able to see it metabolically with the lab results that they did. And so we don't want people to think that they can just manage. We want them to reverse and to prevent.
Sounds good. I was in a conversation with a naturopathic doctor here in North Alabama, and he talked a lot about the fact that you really have to start from the cell.
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at what happened, what is the function of the cell, what does the cell need. Let's meet the needs of the cell, oxygen, water, nutrients, and then that will then deal with everything else. And then the cell, of course, is what organs are comprised of, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you go from the cell to the organs to the rest of the body, and I probably skip some things in there, but it's okay. I think people get the gist of what I'm saying. You start at the cellular level, and that's how you can transform a life.
Absolutely. In my own case, I think because of my profession, when I got the results about the cancer, I'm not just looking where it says cancer. I'm reading the details. And one of the things that surprised me was they said they took out 17 lymph nodes, and there was cancer in six of those 17. So I was pretty much stage three. And they said that my cells were poorly differentiated. So I started looking up to see what that meant. And it goes back to what you're saying. When we're born and we have really good cell division and all of that, they can continue to replicate so that if you shave your face, the hair that grows back is like the hair that you shaved off of there. What had happened to me was the cells had been invaded by cancer, so they were not differentiating the way that they were supposed to. And there was something in parsley that helps with cell differentiation.
Wow.
And so I started using parsley as much as I could, and of course other foods as well, and that helps to, and we thought years ago that once you had a chromosomal or DNA damage that you couldn't change it, you can change it. And so I started to do all the things that would help the cells to differentiate so that we're not remultiplying cancer cells anymore, but we're remultiplying healthy cells. And so everything that this naturopath is saying to you makes sense. Traditional medicine is struggling with it, because that's not what they were traditionally taught.
Right.
But there are many who are catching on, who understand that to just medicate yourself for the rest of your life isn't doing anything to regenerate. You are managing, but not regenerating the system. And with my husband, when I mentioned about the legs, he literally has men whose feet are black as the sweaters that we have on, ready for amputation.
Wow.
And as he does the therapy and they make the lifestyle changes, the color comes back, the blood goes back to the foot, and it returns to what it, so all of that changes back. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, I've got this apron on for a reason.
Getting ready to cook now.
Yeah, getting ready to cook, though really we know I'm just a prop. You're really going to be doing the work. So let's see what you got here. We got, we're gonna make a cake here.
We're going to make a vegan pound cake.
All right.
And traditionally when you make cake, the one that I used to make had a pound of butter, about 6 or 8 eggs, the flour, a lot of sugar, some salt, maybe baking powder. And the old school ones, you didn't put as much baking powder or baking soda in it because you beat the mix after each egg was added to it. So that is what helped to make it rise. And sometimes you would start it in a coal oven and they made the best cakes ever. Mm. Well, I was concerned, and my cousin and I were looking for recipes, and this is the one that she actually gave me, and I've tweaked it a little bit. And I'm going to use pretty much the same ingredients that you would normally use when you're making cake, except that I'll speak of the things that I have changed when I do it. I'm using my favorite brand of flour, which is King Arthur's flour. And the part of the reason that I like to use it is because it's not bromated. There's a process that goes on in traditional flour that literally helps the flour to rise better, but it's a chemical process that's not good for our bodies. And this brand doesn't have that in it.
Okay.
So for this recipe, we start out with 3 cups of just unbleached flour. Now, when I taught college, I had students who were purists as far as plant diets were concerned, and instead of using unbleached flour, they would use whole wheat. They didn't want to use anything unless it was whole wheat. Mm. And so they used whole wheat flour, but I told them to sift it so that it would be a lighter finished product, and their cake always was a more yellow color, okay. Golden, than this flour is.
Okay.
The next thing that I'm going to add is some sugar. And I like to use what used to be called evaporated cane juice, but now it's just a more natural sugar. And part of the reason you want to use natural sugar is because it does not include the animals in any of its processing, but your traditional sugar does.
Hmm.
What you need to know, however...
I didn't know that.
Yes. Once when you take sugar cane, put it through a juicer, mm-hmm. you get the juice, and then you let it dry out so that it's granulated. If you don't wash it, it has like a golden blonde color to it. If you wash it, it looks more like this, which is a whiter color. And then if you continue to process it the way traditional sugar is, they bleach it, and then they run it through what's called bone char, and more often than not, the animal is included in that. And so that's why 100% vegans don't do any of that, use any of that at all. So I recommend the sugar. So we're putting 2 cups of sugar in here. What you need to know, however, it takes about 6 feet, 4 to 6 feet, of sugar cane to make 1 teaspoon of sugar.
Wow.
4 to 6 feet of it.
Okay.
And so essentially you are still getting rid of the nutritive value when you use this sort of sugar, but you're not adding any animal products to it. So that's why it's advantageous to use this instead.
Okay.
And then there are recipes out there where you can use stevia or monk fruit if that's what you like, which are sugar substitutes that don't have any negative effect on the central nervous system.
Stevia or monk
mm-hmm.
fruit.
Monk fruit is one that I think I'm really going to try over the holiday because it looks more like sugar and it comes from the monk fruit mm-hmm. granulated out. And it has no calories and it does not impact the sugar levels the way this kind of sugar would.
Hmm.
And people who really don't want to use anything like this can use that. And that's one I've been struggling to find it and I just found it locally and I think I'm going to try some stuff with that over the holiday,
okay.
which would be excellent for diabetics to use
yeah.
who are very concerned about calories.
Okay.
Okay. So after I put the sugar in, then I'm just going to add salt, and that's something that everybody uses, of course. I teach people that are across the spectrum, and people want to know, am I always using organic this and everything? I recommend it. If I can afford it, I will get it. But because I teach people who can afford somebody to harvest it for them, and people who can't afford it, I tell them to always buy the best that they can afford.
Sure.
So we did a teaspoon of salt, and then we've got baking powder. Baking powder is one of those things that makes food rise. And there are a number of these on the market that are available. I choose to use the Featherweight baking powder because it is aluminum-free. And aluminum, of course, we know causes brain damage. And it is also free of baking soda. And baking soda sometimes kills B vitamins in the foods when we add it to it.
Oh.
And it's another source of sodium. So people who were trying to reduce their sodium content
yeah.
would probably not want to use one that has a baking soda in it. And this one is sodium-free, gluten-free, and is also aluminum-free.
Okay.
And so that's the one that I use. And so what I tell people when I make this recipe is it's just like making cornbread, literally. All we're going to do is stir up the dry ingredients, and then I'm going to mix the wet ingredients in the blender, pour them in this bowl, put this in here, and we're going to bake it in the oven. That's as hard as it gets because people don't believe that it's so easy. As a matter of fact, gave the recipe to one lady, and she called me, I messed up my cake. Well, what did you do? I put it in my KitchenAid, and I whipped it. Well, you weren't supposed to do that. You were just supposed to stir it like you were making cornbread, and then you get the positive outcome. Okay, we're going to add milk. I use soy milk, and we call for a cup and a half of that. And I put that in the blender because you're literally just doing wet to dry. That's a cup. This is a half cup.
And I noticed that this is the Simple Truth brand. That's
yes.
Kroger, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We've fallen in love with everything that they have. Simple Truth is vegan.
Yeah. Yeah, also organic and non-GMO.
Non-GMO. Yeah. They have coconut milk, almond milk. Mm-hmm. Absolutely good. Mm-hmm. Always on sale. Then, usually you put in a pound of butter, and this recipe calls for a cup of oil. So a pound of butter would be 2 cups. So we have cut the oil in half. And I used to use canola. A lot of folk have concerns about canola. And so recently what I've started using is olive oil, not the cold-pressed one, but the one that is a blend of olive oils that's lighter so that you don't get the heavy flavoring of the olive. And this works just beautifully, and it browns beautifully, and it tastes delicious. And so that's what we use in here. So we're going to add a cup of oil. And that will replace any of the butter that you would normally use. Then what we're going to do is add tofu.
Mm-hmm.
This is what replaces the eggs, and each of the recipe calls for a half a container of silken tofu, and this is a brand that I like to use, the Mori Nu. The silken tofu has a texture of cream cheese, and your traditional tofu is more like a cottage cheese. So if you want something smooth, you want to use the silken tofu. And then we're going to add our flavorings, and I have decided to make lemon. Mm-hmm. So we're going to put a tablespoon of lemon flavoring in and a tablespoon of vanilla flavoring. And, of course, people ask, can you experiment with other flavorings? Absolutely, whatever you and your family like.
But all you need is a tablespoon.
Tablespoon. Well, you need 2 tablespoons of flavoring
okay. Total.
And I like to use the lemon and the vanilla. And these are some of just a carryover from how I used to do recipes when I was converting them, because people, taste and texture is what really makes a difference.
Right.
And so I wanted them to be able to come to the table and say, this tastes just like that cake she used to make.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't do that if I didn't make the changes. I try to use alcohol-free flavorings if possible, because you cannot cook out all the alcohol. So if you're trying to avoid alcohol, look for the alcohol-free, and they always carry these at your health food stores. And then you can also get the imitation from the regular grocery store if you want to, of other flavorings if you decide to do
that. That has alcohol in it, though, right? That says propylene glycol. Isn't that alcohol?
I'm not sure if that's alcohol.
Oh, okay.
Another chemical, but I don't believe it's alcohol.
And what about that ethyl vanillin?
You know, it might have that in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. So look for one that does not have that in there, mm-hmm. for sure, if you're trying to avoid it altogether. Mm-hmm. But when you do the traditional ones, it says alcohol right
mm-hmm,
there,
mm-hmm.
and some people don't want to use that.
That's what I grew up on. I mean, I remember my mom used to have those mm-hmm. Those flavorings in the house,
yeah.
and it, you know, you did have a little whiff. I mean, I never got drunk. I
yeah.
think I was all right.
Yeah. The reason I say not to is because, not if a person just doesn't want to drink, but alcohol increases your risk for breast cancer.
Oh.
And so you eat a little bit here, a little bit there, and the amount that you consume over a period of time can literally increase your risk for breast cancer.
Wow, I didn't know
vinegar
that.
Is alcohol when it hits the body, absolutely. And then, of course, we know that it can increase the risk of other diseases as well.
So
I say it from a disease prevention
perspective.
So
does that mean I need to stop using apple cider vinegar?
That's a choice that you make. A lot of people don't talk about it, but the reason that vinegar is called vinegar is because it's made just like alcohol and it's fermented. And after it goes through the fermentation process, there are some substances in there that act on the lining of the stomach and the intestine the same way when women take fingernail polish off
mm-hmm.
with the nail polish remover. The ingredient in there is very similar to what's in alcohol, and they have seen an increase in the development of stomach ulcers for people who consume alcohol. As a matter of fact, Taraji P. Henson.
Oh, did she go? Taraji
she went
vegan
because the lifestyle that she was living, the doctor said that she was at an increased risk for stomach cancer.
Wow.
And so she decided to go vegan, she and her fiance. And I know that the rates in Asia are low for things like breast cancer, but stomach cancer, stuff that is charred and full of vinegar, mm-hmm. increases the risk for that.
Okay.
Yeah, so
good information.
That's a choice that you make.
All right.
Okay, so we're going to turn this on, and I literally have my favorite machine, which is the Vitamix. And people talk about the cost of it. Go online. This time of year, you can find a really good deal. My mom had one probably for 10 years. She's been dead about 12 years now. I still have hers, and it works. And then I invested in another one. Okay. But this just whips everything up perfectly. So we're going to turn that on, and then we're going to mix this up. And that's as hard as it is.
Okay.
So I'm going to give this to you.
All right.
And I just want you to pour it inside of the bowl.
Okay, just straight pour?
Mm-hmm, just straight pour.
Here, let me pour it from the side so that you can have room to do what you need to do.
And literally, this is just like making cornbread, literally. So what I do is I stir it, and it's going to look like a cornbread batter. And then I'm going to add some lemon juice to it, which is a citrus. Mm-hmm. And the citrus will neutralize it. And I can remember growing up helping my mom. And before I got old enough to help her, when she would make cake, everybody loved to eat the cake batter. Mm-hmm. And so as you can see, this looks more like cornmeal or cornbread.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I put in the lemon juice, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, and of course when I was teaching those students, well, Miss Gibbon, we don't have no lemon juice, so we're going to add orange juice to ours. And they did, and they got the same effect, which is to neutralize it and thin it out.
But you're using lemon juice.
Fresh lemon juice is what we do. I will buy a bag of fresh lemons, and then we just juice them, and I have access to fresh lemon juice for any other ingredients or recipes that I'm working on. And do you see it starting to smooth out now?
Mm-hmm.
Now, once about a few weeks ago, I made a cake, and it was a lemon pound cake. And I thought, you know, when you go into the grocery store and buy cakes, or if you use the Betty Crocker cake mix, a lot of the stuff is colored. And, of course, it's using artificial colors in it, and I don't want to use those. So what I did was to take some turmeric, which is anti-inflammatory, and I added it to the pound cake recipe, and it turned it yellow.
But
you could not tell that it was turmeric.
That's what I was just going to ask.
You could not taste it. You could not taste it at all.
Okay.
All right, so that's our mix. And then we're going to pour it in here.
You know, I actually bought some turmeric potato chips or chips.
Mm-hmm.
I was really surprised, and they were pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And turmeric is a major ingredient in mustard. So you're familiar with the flavor. The thing is, you have to be careful when you're cooking with it because it is so strong in flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be overwhelming to you if you're not careful with it.
It's supposed to be really good for men for something. I'm trying to remember.
It's anti-inflammatory for everything.
Oh, for everything. Okay.
Everything. There were some studies done at MD Anderson Cancer Center out in Texas. And I actually sat under the guy who did the research. Every single disease that he put turmeric on improved tremendously.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Okay, and that's it. And then we'll put this in an oven and bake it.
It smells good.
Doesn't it smell good?
Yeah, yeah.
Bake it at 350 for about 50 minutes until it's done. For people who have children in the family, they can add a little more milk to this, and it'll be smoother, and you can make cupcakes for children, and then they can top with whatever toppings they want. It's like a good Christmas Eve kind of thing because you're making cookies and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you can serve it up. Now, what we have here is a cake that's already prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to do is cut a slice so that our viewers can see that. And this is just a glaze that I put on top of it. Typically, I will make a icing like this. And you can see the texture. It looks like traditional old cake.
Mm.
And a lot of times people are concerned about how they're going to make the icing. All I did was to take some confectioner's sugar and put lemon juice in it, or pineapple juice if I'm making something pineapple-y, or just regular non-dairy milk to get it to the part like it's a glaze, and then just pour it over it. And if a person has run out of confectioner's sugar but they still have regular sugar in the house, mm-hmm. they can take a cup of the regular sugar, 2 tablespoons of cornstarch, put it in their blender, blend it till fine, and they have confectioner's sugar. So you don't have to go out and buy extra. Now, of course, we like to serve ours at our home as shortcake. And strawberries are not in season right now, but cranberries are. And so I have made a cranberry relish that I make with fresh cranberries and concentrated orange juice. And I boil that until they all pop. And then it starts to thicken up, and you can put cinnamon or other sweeteners in it if you like, pineapple, whatever, and you end up with this amazing relish. And I have taken this relish after Thanksgiving, put it in the blender with pineapple and orange juice, and made a smoothie out of it.
Nice.
Because you don't typically think about using cranberries as a smoothie. Then if you want to put whipped topping on top of it, there are a couple that are available. Cocoa whip. I've seen it in Publix, but all your health food stores carry that as well.
So Delicious brand is a good brand.
It's really good, and it's just like Cool Whip. And then there's this Ready Whip that's now available that is non-dairy.
One is
from almond, and there's another one that's made from coconut milk that we could put on top of there.
Okay.
And then if the viewers go to our website, lifestyletherapeutics.com, at the very top is a banner. If they click on the banner, it'll download healthy holiday recipes, and in that collection is this new meringue that you can make out of garbanzo bean juice. Mm-hmm. Our newsletter's on the site, and you can see what it looks like. And literally, this year for Thanksgiving, I took it and put it on banana pudding and put it in the oven and browned the top of it just like you would lemon meringue pie, and it was just to die for.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So, again, lifestyletherapeutics.com is Donna's website. And we need to make sure people know how to spell therapeutics.
Yes, therapeutix.com. You can also find us on YouTube, where we're demonstrating a bunch of other plant-based recipes and talking about healthy living, but it's spelled with an X.
Okay. And, of course, you'll also be able to where are your books?
The books. Cooking Up Good Health is the second one that I wrote.
Do you have any copies here in the kitchen somewhere?
Yes, we do, actually.
great.
The first book I wrote, Something to Shout About.
Thank you, sir.
Is the book that talks about my experience with breast cancer, tips on healthy living, and 100 plant-based recipes. And then when I moved to Atlanta, or was living in Atlanta differently than before my diagnosis, I was running into all these people who wanted traditional stuff. I need the pound cake like you got today. I need mac and cheese and banana pudding. So I put together a second book called Cooking Up Good Health that has a partner cooking show that goes with it. And then last year I did Still Cooking Up Good Health, which is an ebook. And that one has tips on healthy living, plant-based health professionals, restaurants that you can go to that are plant-based. And I saw you've been doing some of that.
Yeah, I was out in Los Angeles and went to some great places, including the famous Stuff I Eat in Inglewood with Chef Babette.
Yes.
This woman is in her late 60s.
Yes.
It looks like she's probably in her mid-40s.
Easily.
Crazy.
Easily. Just, and the food is delicious.
Great food,
So what I wanted to do, we've been able to travel recently, and I've sampled some different restaurants, and I put all those in there. There are menus in the download. There are meal plans. There are steps for better living that are there, and there are links to the videos on some of the recipes that are online. You can link to it while you're making it and see me do it. And so all of those are available on the website, too.
Cool. Awesome. All right. So this has been a special presentation for the Healthy Alabama Podcast. David Person, Donna Green Goodman, my big sister, absolutely an amazing vegan chef. I have not had one thing that you've ever made that wasn't delicious.
That's what people say, Donna. Do you mess anything up? I'm like, ask my husband and my son. They're like, take that back. And my husband would get to the place where he wouldn't say anything. He'd just leave it on the plate. And I'm like, okay, that's a no. That's a no.
Back there laughing.
Yeah, that's a no. And then I would go back in the kitchen. And when we first got married, he had some biscuit recipe that some patient of his had, and he came home talking about how good theirs was and how mine wasn't. Well, he had biscuits for like the next 6 weeks until I got it where he said, okay, these are amazing. Yeah, so you're tasting it after they've thrown it back.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Eddie is so funny.
For
sure. Awesome, awesome. So this has been great. Thank you for this. And we're going to enjoy sampling this cake. What is your name again? Say your name one more time.
Tercel.
Yes.
Because I messed up and forgot your name, I'm 55 years old, man. I'm lucky to remember where I'm supposed to be in 5 minutes. Tercel will get actually the first slice. You want to try it? Yeah, come on, try it, man. Come on, try it. Try it.
And all you get a fork right there? Yeah. Let's see what it tastes like, too.
See what Tercel thinks it is. You know, what I have found dealing with Donna is that a lot of people that are not vegan will eat her stuff and then be stunned when they discover that, this is vegan. What you think, Tercel? You can work with that? Okay.
Yeah.
Get back to work. Take the plate and get back to work. Very good, Tercel. I knew he would. I thought he would be.
Yeah.
You know.
Nobody makes a cake, a vegan pound cake like Donna Green Goodman. I mean, I'm telling you. Yeah, I was stingy. I was stingy. I didn't share much. I shared a little bit. I did share a little bit, but not much. That pound cake was awesome. Awesome. I want to thank Donna Green Goodman and her husband, Eddie, who was trying to sneak a piece, but we blocked him. We kept him from getting one, for joining us for the Healthy Alabama podcast, and for letting us invade their kitchen at Lifestyle Therapeutics to record this episode. So again, that's Lifestyle Therapeutics. Google them. They're online. They've got a great website. And check them out. They provide some great services to help you live a healthier life. Lifestyle Therapeutics, spelled with an I-X. Therapeutics with an I-X. I also want to thank my friends at AVO Communications, Inc. That's Keith Matthews, my man Keith Matthews. And also Tercel was working with us today. He's the guy who did the first taste test for us on the cake, and he didn't want to give his slice up either. He didn't want to share it with Eddie either. It wasn't just me. I want to thank Keith and Tercel for working the shoot for us, shooting the video, recording the audio, and then Bree at AVO Communications for working on the audio for us. Thank you, Bree. And also the video post-production. And speaking of video, you'll be able to see the whole, if you want to see the whole thing, you can actually, you're going to be able to see it soon on my website, davidpersonmedia.com. You'll be able to see an excerpt, hopefully, on WJOU.org. We're going to be working on that. And we've also got the excerpt where Donna is walking us through how to make a cake. We've got that already out on social media on Facebook. Our Facebook page is the Healthy Alabama Podcast. All right, that wraps it up for today. I'm David Person, host and producer of the Healthy Alabama Podcast, sponsored by Enroll Alabama, which is a project of AIDS Alabama. Our theme music is created by DJ Bailey on the ones and twos, as they say in the club, even though we're not in the club. Thank you, DJ. Appreciate you, man. All right, until next time, be healthy.